Please, can we resume our work? I think more or less everybody is here. At least all regions are represented, so we would like to continue. But before we start, resume our work on the strategic plan, many of you will have noticed, or some have signed the poster that we are doing for the celebration of Ezzedine Butrif later today. And if somebody didn't sign so far, please. Lisa has the poster over here, but she needs to process it further. So if anybody around here didn't sign it, please do it now. That won't disturb anybody. Nobody reacts, so it seems everybody has done their duty. So thank you for that. We appreciate that very much. Then we go back to this discussion on the strategic plan, and we have already got some important and far-reaching comments from some delegations. We take that on board and include that in our further deliberations, but I'm sure that there will be other delegations who might have general comments on how to develop and how to proceed with the development of the upcoming strategic plan. So if there are further comments, I would really appreciate delegates to give us those comments. That doesn't seem to be the case. Ah, Coordinator of Africa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the document before us is an excellent beginning for a new phase of a strategic plan. It may be useful to look at the proposals that have come and have possibly a smaller team to tease out something that could guide in working out the detailed activities, taking into account some of the issues that have come during the implementation of the current strategic plan and other activities. We may need to itemize them and make sure that as we look to the future of a growing active codex to take on board some of these activities that are coming up and some of the difficulties that we've encountered in looking at some of the things. I think a smaller team may do that job rather than a big team. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Africa. A constructive idea that will certainly go into our thinking of how to proceed, but I think it's premature to draw any conclusions for the time being. Member from North America has asked for the floor. Please.
Well, thank you. We too were thinking that a smaller group would probably be useful in terms of working through this. However, I think for this session, it would be useful for us to be talking about some global the global structure that we would like to give to it, and perhaps some thought about goals and objectives underneath that, so that the work group has a framework that has been generally agreed to within this group.
Thank you, Member for North America. I'm sure that everybody will agree that if we establish a smaller group, an electronic working group, or whichever media we want to choose, that we should do some more work here to give guidance and headlines of what how this group should proceed, and also having identified some of the major issues that should go into it. Otherwise, we start all over again, and that would not be wise, in my opinion. And basically, this committee should give this kind of advice to an electronic working group, because this is where the competence is to develop it. So we will certainly try to work on that basis. But before we continue, the member from Near East has asked for the floor. Near East, please. Dr. Kayat, please.
Sorry, thank you. Shukran Zilavayt.
Thank you, Chair. In addition to what has been previously discussed here by the members, I have one simple comment. Normally, we have some sort of method to measure the performance indicators of the strategic plan. Those for the KPIs are very useful, as you know, especially when we proceed to revise a strategic plan. So I suggest that we examine this point in particular, as I believe it will be very useful for us in the future when we review our strategic planning. Thank you.
Thank you, Member from Near East. I'm sure you strike an important point, because I think, if I understand correctly what I hear, that, and also from the history of developing the present strategic plan, which was a major step from the one before that, which was didn't have measurable indicators, that was a major step in this one to have it. And at that time, there was a lot of requests to have that, to have more precise indications of what do we want and what can we actually use as for monitoring the progress of the committee. But what I understand here is that this might have gone too far, you could say, and have become too detailed. Maybe there are too many goals that we feel like it's just a repetition every time. We don't really have discussions on it. So maybe we should reduce it. But at the same time, we hear delegations talking about having a structure where you have a shorter paragraph with, say, punchlines and more clearly describing who are we, what do we want, and what are the future risks. There's at least three of the punchlines that could go into such a document from what I hear in this committee. So we should try to strike this balance between these points, some measurable indicators, which is really precisely what we want to achieve, and a more elaborate description for government purposes of what are we doing in this committee. So I think I would like to try to proceed on such a basis for our thinking. But before we continue, the FAO has asked for the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm highly impressed by what has been done so far with regard to the modification of the current strategic objective by the Bureau, because if I read the previous statements and the suggested amendments, that is progress. I obviously also agree with the interventions made for having sort of a deeper, more effective and sharp strategy document. But from our experience in FAO, where we have gone on through five last years in preparing a new strategic framework, and as you also have from your own experience with the preparation of the strategic framework of the Codex, it takes time. It needs lots of interactions with all the stakeholders, with the membership, and it's an enormous effort. Therefore, I wonder as to whether we could have basically two steps made. Consider what the Bureau has put on the table as a possibility for the membership to see, yes, there is a progression in the way by which the committee or the Bureau and then the committee is thinking about strategic framework evolution. And at the same time, if there is a consensus, go for a much more deep and long drawn out process for strategic framework development, which we are all aware is enormously demanding, but it's also rewarding to have a sharp strategic objective that clarifies so much also in the way by which progress monitoring is done as to the achievement of the results which are indicated in the framework. And therefore, I very much support what was said before, that this is indeed desirable to have such a strategic platform and framework. But again, it's a very demanding process. And therefore, my hunch might be to perhaps go with what is being suggested, because it is, in my view, a great improvement to the previous one, because it reflects issues, new issues, which have come on board, as reflected now by the Bureau's position. So that would be my indication of my sort of hope that could be done. Because if we go for the deep strategy process, we may lose the opportunity to indicate to the membership press that the Commission is thinking about strategic evolution. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO, for those ideas. And I would like to give the floor to this member from Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just, I guess, reflecting on the comments of the FAO, I would have thought, with transparency in mind, that even possibly on the current Codex website now, there could be a section there on the draft strategic plan. Simply put this document there. Every iteration, as it's reviewed, put it there. So there's no secret in this document, and anyone that's prepared to get on there and look at a track change document can actually see the thinking of and the progression of the development of the Codex thinking around this particular piece of work. So it is it becomes a bit more of a dynamic tool in a sense, and I think that's a valuable suggestion. I don't foreshadow that I would have patience for a process that's going to take years to get a strategic document together. So I'd be hoping that within the capacity of this group here, that we could actually cut a fairly sharp document out of this by that February meeting. That would be my expectation, and we should set that goal clearly on ourselves. In regard to the document, just trying to help the Chair a little bit with how we bring some of these comments together, maybe it's worth just spending a little bit of time around some of the key headings in it, like the strategic vision that we have there at the moment. Is that the platform? And the reason I'm really just seeking to be a bit... just a little bit engaging on this point, because it would be good to get a readout from this room around what is the thinking in regard to that strategic vision. Because I look at that strategic vision and I'm not sure what it means, in a sense. So I can be a bit provocative. I can look at that and say, I think there is. I like the tone of world afforded the highest attainable levels of consumer protection, including food safety. I'm not sure what quality means in that context, and maybe that needs to be expanded to actually say what we mean. And then that vision then drops down at a level almost to a management statement. And it may not be the sort of vision that the collectively Codex with what we understand of ourselves at this point, holds up as that light on the hill that we're actually striving towards. So, you know, my view would be to position that light as high as possible and with as much clarity as possible, so that we strive to that point, and that's what should be enunciated in that particular area there. You may not be able to solve it today, but at least if we get some thoughts around that, then it gives those that may well be tasked with trying to capture some of this thinking, some guidance as to what the feeling is.
Thank you. Member from Southwest Pacific for elaborating on how we could proceed, and certainly I agree it would be important to have thoughts about the strategic vision, because that should encapture what we're doing, and let us see if we do it. In my head at this stage, I think we should have a discussion on, say, the strategic elements, the really overall, the punchlines, as it has also been expressed, and obviously we start with a strategic vision in that respect. That's one element of our discussion. The second element is, what do we need to have as element in the plan that is actually made for progress monitoring? I think if we separate the discussion on these two issues, we might be able to create some guidance for future discussions. And I think we should already agree on what has been proposed by several delegations to establish a smaller working group to develop these ideas further. I think that would be the thinking that we should go on. So we can come back to that later on, how we do that and who would become member and chair that group. Obviously, we need an efficient chair for carrying on such a work. Otherwise, it won't help us very much. And certainly, I also agree with what was just mentioned by the Southwest Pacific member, that obviously we don't want this process to take years, because we need to make progress, and we need time before we have a really a draft that can be introduced to the Commission, where we include all member states, and we need time for that process too. So the initial work, having a final draft that we can introduce to the whole world, needs to be finalized as soon as possible. So let's see what we can do about it. But before I deliberate further on that, I would like to give the floor to the member from Africa, please.
Merci, Monsieur.
Thank you, Chairman. In light of the debate, and also in light of the content of the document we have before us, I think we do have an excellent set of guidelines to serve as a basis for the forthcoming strategic plan. If I look back to the previous plan, I would say that it is particularly important to focus on activities and certain objectives which I believe that we ought to stress. I believe personally that these objectives should be clear-cut and easy to manage, and above all be flexible, because however precise you are in your objectives, it may well be the case when it comes to implementation that even if you have completed the work in time, it may have led to subsequent activities which would require extra time and extra work to implement. So there might be a need, therefore, for a degree of flexibility, provided that everything can be done in the time allotted. Just one point I wanted to raise. I note that we have included the period 2014 to 2019, but I also see reference within the document to activities to be rolled out between 2013 and 2018, and I haven't quite understood this discrepancy in timing. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Africa. I think I would like to ask Madam Secretary to explain this little mystery about the years mentioned. Madam Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, initially when work was initiated in the Executive Committee, as it was not entirely clear in the strategic plan itself, we had put, and everybody had agreed at the time, 2013, 2018, but then we checked, and in fact it's not in the strategic plan itself. It was decided quite some years ago by the Commission when the previous strategic framework was discontinued. It's in the report of the Commission in 2004 that the strategic plan would cover 6 years. So it means it's from, the current one is from 2008, beginning of 2008 until the end of 2013. And that was why, in fact, we corrected and we put on the title. We corrected it when we prepared the agenda for the Commission and the Executive Committee. And so it's 2014 and 2019. That was the correction. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I hope that clarified the situation about the years to everybody. I think we should try to proceed following the idea of spending some minutes or hours, I don't know, on discussing the strategic vision statement as the overall, does it have the right words in it, or what should be changed to encapture in a more precise way what we are doing in the future? That would be a starting point, and then continuing to other elements of the strategic plan itself before we later on move to discussing what should be in a more detailed part of the plan for which could be used for monitoring of progress of the coding system in general. So I would like to open the floor for comments, for suggestions on how to change or how to develop or to maintain. That might also be possible to some delegations what we have as a strategic vision statement in the document. So please. I would like to give the floor to Vice Chair Dave, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to break the ice, maybe in the vision statement we could talk of or reflect on whom are we addressing our codex to, and that the strategic plan vision statement would reflect that. And what is the purpose? I think the purpose would be to ensure public health, awareness about codex, harmonization of standards, addressing possible risks and hazards, and eventually facilitating trade. I think some of these points could be captured in the vision statement. What exactly are we looking at, say, 6 years hence or 10 years hence? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Dave, for suggestions. And I would like to give the floor to the member from Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, according to our opinion, what is stated in the current strategic vision statement is too broad. It's good to go for sort of idealistic thinking, but it says toward the end of the first line, the highest attainable levels of consumer protection, and then including food safety and quality. Yes, we are doing not only just food safety and quality, but definitely we are not doing something like some crimes or that kind of thing. I mean, the protection is not protection from anything. We have the very strong statutes written in the procedure manual, and perhaps in order to appeal to the outside world as well as inside Codex community, our opinion is to stick more to the statement in the procedure manual rather than expanding too much as large as consumer protection as a whole.
Thank you. Member from Asia. I think the member from Europe has asked for the floor. I don't see any flag, but if I misunderstood the situation, he will correct me, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I waved it around because it's actually difficult to see from your position. Yeah, I think I have sort of agree with the member for Asia. I think it's difficult perhaps to develop a vision statement, which of course should be really punchy. I think the purpose of a vision statement is to explain, really, I mean, we all know why we're here, but I think the emphasis should be on explaining to the outside world why we're here and what we're striving to do. In some cases, you could, I mean, there are different ways of drafting strategic plans and different ways of drafting vision statements. You can either decide what you're going to do and then draft a vision statement around about that, mm-hmm. or you draft your vision statement and then that forms your the content of your strategic plan. So it depends how we want to approach this. I mean, if we are going to say, agree that climate change and nanotechnology and all these other things are challenges for the future, then that should be sort of identified in the vision statement, you know, in view of you know, the rising challenge around X, Y, and Z, Codex will particularly be looking at, and we will achieve this by. So, I mean, it's something around about that. It's not great drafting, but I think, you know, it's very difficult to actually draft a vision statement without knowing what your where your strategy is going to go, unless we decide now that the vision statement is going to inform the strategy. So, I'm sorry, it's a bit geeky and nerdy, but I think it's a point, and it does need. I personally would. I think it looks okay in terms of what it says. I think it just needs to be punchier, because I think it does need to sell Codex to the outside world. And I made the point earlier on, and I made the point to colleagues in margins. You know, how do we explain to our ministers? You know, the member from North America sort of said, you know, we need to encourage member countries to cough up more money for scientific advice. You know, this needs to be the paragraph that you can say to your minister back home, hey, this is what Codex does, this is why it's really important. So it almost needs to be a sort of semi-political statement, you know, and, you know, this is really sells Codex, and they will say, wow, that's fantastic, I never knew that existed, here have millions of dollars. So, you know, I think that's the kind of emphasis we need in a vision statement. But it's difficult to draft it, I think, in isolation from a further discussion on two or three points under each of maybe under each of the goals, drawing out what I think. I mean, sorry, I'll move on to a separate point. I think there's a lot of good stuff in this document. I think the start could be just retaining the current goals-based system. You know, you could easily go through this, leave this as an appendix, and you could easily pick out two or three key points from each of these goals and shift them up to the top of the document. And that would sit underneath a vision statement, it would sit underneath, as a member for Southwest Pacific suggested, an explanation of who we are and what we do, and then that I think that would be a good way of going forward. And because you know, you can have ad infinitum. You could have discussions on drafting and what words should be in, what words should be out. We're looking to convey a meaning and a direction for Codex, rather than worrying about specific wording and whether or not that should be in, whether that should be out. That can, you know, that can be discussed in CC Exec and plenaries and committees. So that was just that'd be my suggestion.
Thank you, Europe. That. We'll certainly take on board your advice on how to proceed. But before we try to continue, I'd like to give the word to the coordinator from Asia. Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. From the CAC ASEAN meeting, there are three important key points for the strategic plan. The first is new strategic plan should include the indicator for the measure, indicator of measurement. And then the second is about the most significant challenge in the development of procedure and standard must be aligned with the development of the food industry. And then the third is about the strategic plan should take into account the climate and technology. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Asia. Very precise elements that you want to have included that will be taken note of, I'm sure. Then I would like to pass the floor to the member from CCLAC, please.
Gracias, señor.
Thank you, Chairman. Two questions. The first one, based on the strategic vision that we had established in the present strategic plan, which I believe it was along the lines of what was said by the member from Asia. It says that Codex wants a world that will afford the highest attainable levels of consumer protection, including food safety and quality. Well, I think that we had already pointed this out at some other point in time. It seems to us that this goes perhaps over and beyond the mandate of Codex, because it talks about the protection in general of consumers' health, and that does not fall under the ambit of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. It can only deal with a protection of consumers' health in relation with food safety and quality. So it seems to me that here we are giving the Commission certain aspects concerning public health that are not necessarily included in the mandate of the Commission. So I wonder if this could be solved by changing the world, creating a nexus between health protection and food safety and quality. Because food safety and quality have to be included only if your protection is valid when it's included with safety and quality. I'm not sure if perhaps there's a translation problem here with our text, but I don't think so. I think that we're just going a little bit over and beyond the goals of Codex, and that perhaps that deserves to be somewhat amended. The other point, in Latin America and the Caribbean, it has been said that it was important to have measurable indicators on the effectiveness of the plan, and that technological issues and implementations should also be taken into account. That's just another point. Thank you.
Thank you, member from CCLAC. I think you might have a point about how far we actually cover consumer protection within the framework of Codex Alimentarius, but that will obviously go into the discussion of reframing the strategic vision statement. Then I would like to pass the floor to the member from North America, please.
Thank you. I'm not sure that we can craft the specific words that we want to have today, but I think we can talk about some of the points. And I think the point that was just made by the member from Latin America about the extent to which we are involved in protecting consumer health is an important one. But some other ideas that we would like to see reflected in a vision statement would be global leadership in developing harmonized science-based standards for consumer protection. Something that kind of puts you out there and separates you from everybody else. You know, what is it that makes this organization different from everybody else? It would also be good if we can somehow reflect the ability or the leadership in addressing challenges for the future, something like that. It says we're looking at the future and trying to figure out how we're going to address those challenges. I think vision statements are pretty high level and not very prescriptive or specific about anything. So that's the kind of thing. Then we talk about some of the other things we're talking about fit into mission statements or perhaps goals or objectives as you go down the line. But they all flow out of one thing. First of all, you decide what it is you want to be. Then you figure out what it is that you're going to have to do to get there. But it kind of helps you keep focused on what it is you really need to do or really want to do, because it sure is easy to think of 150 things that we would like to do or somebody thinks we should do, but we really do need to keep focused on a real specific goal or vision.
Thank you, North America. I think I can agree totally with what you're saying, and we will try to continue on that basis in our work. And obviously, we already have a number of elements being mentioned by different delegations that should go into it. So we'll come back to that in a few moments, how we could try to proceed on that basis. But before I enlighten my own thoughts about it, I would like to give the floor to FAO. FAO, please.
Thank you, Chairman. The current vision statement, in my interpretation, encapsulates both the vision level, as well as the purpose and mission level, which was just said before by North America. Therefore, we might perhaps, as also was said, have a vision statement which is the highest level, which would say, for instance, envisages successful protection of food quality and safety for all humans in a rapidly changing world. And the rest would then be purpose, separated from the vision, development or develop internationally agreed standards and text for use in national regulation and international trade in food. That would then sort of be the purpose from that way we could separate vision and the several levels of the vision from mission and purpose. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO, for ideas on how to structure the document. And I'd like to give the floor to the coordinator from Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Taking into account strategic vision statements, I would like to point it out at least 4 points. From CCE Euro point of view, I think that key point is just consumer protection. And in this area, we should focus our activity on food safety and quality in the whole food chain. And we, in this area, we should, based on so-called hazard-based approach. This is the most important issue. If we will do this, we could realize the second point concerning improving public health protection. And in this area, we should consider and take into account risk-based approach. And next point, the third one, is just we have to avoid of misleading of consumers, and we should ensure fair practices in this area. And something for producers, we should facilitate the trade to improve economic situation of food business operators. And maybe the last but not least, we should consider some control measures to check, just to control the effectiveness of the action taken, taking into account points mentioned before. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Coordinator from Europe. I don't see any more flags. We have already got a lot of points on what should be important and how we should structure. I think that we cannot today, I guess, come to any more precise conclusion on how much we put into the strategic vision statement and what we leave to subsequent parts of the document. But we have identified a number of ideas, and I think we can identify more ideas so that the major elements that should come into an initial paragraph, whether it should be divided into a strategic vision statement, which is very short, and then a more substantive part of the document after that, before we go to the measurable documents, could be discussed. But I think it would be important as a guiding point for this electronic working group that we intend to establish to try if we can be sure that we have identified the most important elements. And I would suggest, just as a practical help to do that, because we need some kind of structure for our discussion, that we take the present document from the Bureau and go through it and see if you basically agree on what we have put into the document of substantive news, that lots of it is editorial things relating to the present manual, etc. But some of it is really substantial new things that we want to put into it, and we have also stricken out some things. That could be a guidance for how to proceed on this basic part of the coming strategic plan. So I hope that could be acceptable as a way to work with the proceedings. Before we continue, Vice Chair Manindu has asked for the floor. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I would propose that before going to the details of the text, probably could agree whether the strategic goals that have been identified in the new document, I think there are about five or six, whether those five goals include what we would like to see in the next 5 years from 2013. And then from there, if we are agreeable, then we could go into the details of the text. Just a slight modification of your proposal, Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Indu. But I think this will be part of going through the document. Obviously, that will be working on whether we accept these goals, and if we do it consecutively, we will go take them one by one and see if we agree on these strategic goals. Obviously, it's a key point whether we accept the strategic goals that is drafted in the document, which are the goals themselves has not been changed, but maybe they should have changed. That's what we want to hear opinions about from this committee. So I still suggest that we try to, for practical reasons, to proceed that way. I think otherwise it might be difficult for us to. We also need to be able to sum up after our discussion what should be the guidance to the upcoming electronic working group. So I think I don't see any flags on this proposal, so I would like to just go through the document and see if you can agree to the what we have added and what we have stricken out, and then additional ideas can be launched going through the document. That's a way of practical way of handling our discussions. Otherwise, we could fly in all directions, and that doesn't give clarity to what we might conclude. So I'd like to simply take page one, introduction, those are only editorial changes because the reference documents that we have added are new, and obviously it has to be changed. And in particular, it's new that the WHO in May 2010 made a resolution where they highlighted the importance of food safety. So we have added that. We think that's a pertinent thing to do, but that could be discussed. But I don't see any reactions to this page. Then we go to page 2 of the document, which I see maybe I'm too fast. FAO has asked for the floor. FAO, please.
It's a comment on page 2, indeed. And I note that the Bureau has introduced the codes of practice after standards guidelines and before recommendations, and that will also then appear in goal number 1 on promoting sound regulatory frameworks. The codes of practice are introduced into the work of Codex. My question is as to what is meant by codes of practice, and the reason I'm asking is our experience we have had in particular in the interaction between FAO and OIE, where we have noted that OIE has increasingly taken up work on codes of practice in the sense of ways by which the standards should be implemented in a developmental context. And that's where there is a potential conflict between the development organization FAO and the standard setting organization OIE. And that's why I'm asking what is exactly meant by codes of practice. Is it codes of practice related to standard setting, or is it codes of practice to the implementation of standards? Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. I think I can just give the answer that the use of codes of practice as one of the instruments that we use in the Codex world has been there for many years, and we didn't add it here because we want to introduce a new mechanism of work. We added it simply because we felt that it is an instrument, a well-known instrument. It's described in the manual, but it was simply missing. So it was this addition is what I would call an editorial change to make the strategic plan more precise in relation to the manual. So I hope that's the proper answer to that question. But I see a comment from the member from Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Chair. On the, there may be a point made by the FAO that is probably relevant. The question that arose from that comment was whether there was a need in a document at this level to enumerate all of the different outputs that Codex produces. It seems that we want to be concise and without necessarily listing all of the different types of outputs. So that would be our reaction to whether we want to specifically include codes of practice in a document at this level. But I wanted to take the floor on the subsequent comment or addition in that same paragraph, and that relates to and to coordinate all food standard work undertaken by international governmental and non-governmental organizations. I don't know whether this is actually taking it too far. I don't know whether we can even deliver if, in fact, you know, that's what we are seeking to do. We may not have a lot of control over what some of the non-governmental organizations do. You know, it also begs the question whether we do need to include something like this in the strategic framework. We're certainly seeking to involve and get them to contribute to Codex work, But fundamentally, we have to keep in mind what is the mandate and what is this organization's role and purpose in the international food standards area. So we would have some questions about the advisability of including this particular statement in this document. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Southwest Pacific. The first issue, obviously, whether we should, we have done it to make it more precise. You're right. I think that's a discussion that could be taken up in drafting the coming document by the Electronic Work Group, how we should do it. The other issue we have, the second point you raised to coordinate all food standards is also a point we have added because to try to make more precise the strategic plan in relation to the manual, because it appears from the statutes of the Codex Alimentarius Commission in Article 1, point B, that this is the function, this is the job of the Codex Alimentarius. This is why we added it.
It's promoting coordination.
Yeah, it's promoting. Well, maybe we have made the mistake we should have said to promote coordination of all food standards. That would be a more precise reflection of the manual. So that should be corrected. That's a mistake by the drafting group to do it that way. But I think it also picks up on what was mentioned by the member from North America a few minutes ago about highlighting the role that we want the Codex Alimentarius to have. But the precise drafting of it is a relevant point to take up in the further deliberations of this document. So that would be noted for further refinement or deletion. That could be the outcome depending on the discussions in the work to come. Any other comments on this paragraph down to decision-making based on scientific evidence? Here we have added what we consider a very important element for the future and possible food safety consequences of climate change. We have done that because we think it's right to do, and it also, my understanding from several interventions today, that this is an element that needs to be involved and highlighted in the future work of the Codex system. So I hope that's okay. But before we continue, the FAO has asked for the floor. FAO, please.
Thank you, Chair. Just a small comment on this particular issue of consequences of climate change for food safety and quality. The three Directors General of FAO, WHO, and OIE have, as you may know, agreed on a so-called tripartite concept note to deal with the emerging threats to animals and humans and ecosystems at the interface between animal-human health and ecosystem health in the face also of climate change. And I suspect it might be advantageous to refer to that tripartite note because the climate change is then sort of mentioned in the context of the emerging threats in these interfaces, which have been, as you know, neglected so far, the interface animal-human health and animal-human health and ecosystem health. Therefore, it might be an advantage to, rather than simply talk about climate change, to talk about the changes in these interfaces as affected by climate change. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. I'm sure your ideas could be taken on board in the further discussions about the document. It sounds a very good idea to me. Before we continue, I'd like to pass the floor to the member from Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Chair, and I think I'm picking up the same line as the FAO. My sense is, I use this term with the appropriate due respect, but language such as climate change is often attached to popular themes, particularly politically at certain points, and that's a theme that is, has a particular mantra at the moment called climate change. Climate change itself, I don't see directly links particularly to any of to any of the particular risks that we're dealing with. What comes back to the risks we're dealing with are a range of other factors combined with that, as FAO has articulated, including population increase, including expanding middle classes around the world and the demand for protein, including production food basins that aren't keeping pace with the demand for food internationally. All of those elements combined with the evolution of particular pathogens and so forth, and the use of new technologies are all coming together to create a little bit of a headache for the development of standards to ensure in the main that we can produce safe food and equally meet those characteristics of the fair trading requirements associated with that. So I think picking up the FAO, it would be probably better to shape the document not so much around things like climate change, but actually a level lower down with what are those real emerging threats coming at us that we know about, like the changing pathogens, which is probably a factor of climate change, but not of itself, you know. It will also be, as I mentioned, the sort of food security issues, which I think is another major issue internationally that should be reflected upon, and that's not mentioned in here. So there's a little bit of headwork left in that particular space in this document that we just need to reflect a fair bit on.
Thank you, South, for specific, you know, elaborating, actually pointing at other important factors for which may create difficulties and necessities, I would say, for establishing codex standards. Certainly, such issues should be taken on board in the further discussion of the document, but it has to be balanced with our idea of also making punchlines that is easily understood, and maybe in that context it's still usable to build on the popular climate change words. I agree with you that it's been used and maybe sometimes misused in many debates, but again, if we want to create punchlines, we also need to use words that is easily understood and easily taken on board by those who read the first paragraphs of the document. But that could be discussed further, obviously. Then I would like to pass the floor to the advisor from Africa, please.
Thank you, Chair. This is further down the page to the decision-making based on scientific advice. As we know, Codex is based on science, and to ensure that such values are maintained, I think that we should include a word in that line which says the CAC as a risk management body does not undertake scientific values as per se, but relies then include and should be guided on the opinions of the scientific expert bodies. This is just to maintain that we are not always misguided to forget and to undervalue the scientific aspect in the codex processes of standard setting. Thank you.
Thank you, Advisor from Africa. I'd like to pass the floor to the member from CCLAC, please.
Gracias, señor.
Thank you, Chairman. I simply wanted to indicate that we fully support what was said by the Southwestern Pacific and North American members a moment ago. We believe that the issue of climate change, whilst we do need to take into account at the organisation level, in fact, when it comes down to it, in Codex is what we should be bearing in mind is emerging risk and cover these under the principles and criteria as already established by Codex. Because were we to go beyond this, we would run the risk of going beyond Codex's mandate. this is a mandate that is different to a mandate which might be held by WHO or FAO, and perhaps also OIE. Codex has a specific mandate, and given that we're not seeking to change the mandate as such, we want to avoid going beyond our own purview. Thank you.
Thank you, member from CCLAC. I'm sure we agree that we're not trying to go beyond our mandate by writing the strategic plan. That's a precondition for how we put our words, and we have to be careful in that respect. I agree on that. And certainly that comment will be taken on board for further thinking about the document. Before we break for lunch, I would like to pass the floor to the member from Europe. Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think in this section, it's been interesting to hear some of the comments. I kind of have some sympathy with the member for Southwest Pacific region. We just need to avoid some populist terms. Looking at what Codex mandate is and isn't, I think in this section we should maybe just be looking at the work of Codex in the context of other issues affecting the food chain, such as changing climatic patterns or something like that. So we acknowledge that actually we will do our work as set out in the statutes, but we are actually acknowledging that there are changing climatic patterns across the world, there's issues around food security, there are issues, and that we will not operate in ignorance of these other factors that are affecting the food chain outside. So I think it's just, again, I think all the ideas are captured in the document. It's just, we just need to say Codex will continue to do what it does as developed by a statute, but we will do so in full knowledge of all these other issues that are affecting the food chain. Whether or not we are directly or not responsible for them, obviously not, but we will develop science-based standards, etc., in the knowledge of all these other issues that are out there, and that we won't just sort of sit in our own little world developing standards. Okay, so that was just, I think all the ideas are there, it's just how they are expressed. Thanks.
Thank you, Member for Europe. I'm sure that we all agree that the idea of adding things to the document that reflects the necessity of the Codex world to look into the future and try to catch up or be on level with the development. And one of the major issues that face us all is, well, climate change. You could refine the word, you could put it in different ways, but this idea is necessary. I think everybody agrees on that. Then the electronic working group could reflect on how it should be described. Certainly there should be no misunderstanding of what we intend. At the same time, we should also have this element of describing the things in the way that we have a punchline that is being understood by our governors, our superiors, or who come with the money, as some delegations has expressed it, to understand that this is part of our work, this is part of our thinking. It is my understanding that we agree on this, so this will certainly go into the conclusions and the guidance to the coming working group to put that into the new draft of the document. Having said that, having concluded that, and I don't see any reactions against it, I would like to break for lunch. I wish everybody a good break. I hope you have some good food. Well, the sun is not shining, but still it's nice weather outside. So we will resume at 2:30, and we'll try to start precisely at that time. So I ask you to be back on time. Thank you very much.